started 8 years ago when we realized that this generation that's coming up is very much interested in sustainability, in community, in health and well-being, in doing well, doing socially responsible work, doing environmentally responsible work and in design. And what's interesting about them is that they're coming up with really new ideas about how to make things sustainable, including materials, buildings, interiors, products. And so they have a whole new set of criteria that they apply to their design brief. And therefore, it's really interesting to enlist them in a discussion about design ideas that are that are about to shape the future and are shaping the present.
And so every year, do you choose a building that people are going to submit ideas for? How describe to us how this works.
Okay, every year until now, we had a little bit of a general, more of a general charge to the young designers. By the way, we asked them to be 10 years or less in practice or design students in design schools and architecture schools.
So these aren't the pros. These are new folks.
These are new folks. Yeah. Some of them are pros, not old pros. We want the new ideas. We want them to really think forward. It is the 21st century is their century, and they're shaping. We're asking them to shape it for themselves and their kids and their grandkids. So this is very important that they be young and vital and be involved in shaping the new century. So the Next Generation competition until this year was a little bit more general. One year we asked them to deal with the big subject of energy. Next year we asked them to deal with the big subject of water, and we charge them to work at every scale. So for instance, for water, they might design a faucet that keeps a record of how much water you're using so that it has a feedback system.
Yeah, so all of a sudden there's some awareness of how much water you're actually using.
Exactly. Or they would actually offer whole big systems of water reclamation in housing projects everywhere from Mexico to Malaysia and the United States. So it went on every scale because this, we ask them to think about every scale, but so we get this amazing selection of big, small projects that all of them are big ideas that could work to reshape our world.
And do these get implemented in some way? I know your sponsor on this, or your competition sponsor is Herman Miller, who make those fantastic chairs. So is there some plan to actually implement some of these ideas?
Well, some ideas, like the first winner was the Big Dig House, which was a house that, in fact, it was designed originally as a housing project using the garbage from the Big Dig, all those great highway parts that could be used to determine and build a building structure. They ended up designing and building a house with those parts, and so that was realized. And, in fact, that house was sold in Boston and Cambridge, actually. And that house was sold. It went on the market. So I think we're proving that garbage, if it's made really beautiful, it sells.
Yeah.
So that was really interesting. There are other projects that are in prototype phase that are waiting for some sort of investment from the outside.
Yeah.
Investment is a difficult thing right now because everyone wants ideas, but nobody has money. And so, but I'm very hopeful because the U.S. government is really pushing for ideas, pushing to kind of figure out what the next generation of products and solutions are. So I think I'm more encouraged now about some of these projects that could finally be realized.
And that makes for a good transition because this year's design competition is a little bit different because you have a specific building that is, I say old federal building, and that just makes me feel old, but it's not a brand new green building. It's one that essentially needs a little retrofit.
And what's interesting about that is, as you know, the U.S. government owns thousands of buildings, owns or rents them, and the big push in government building in the U.S. was during the Great Society program, the 1960s, early 70s. under Lyndon Johnson, when our whole sort of current civil rights culture and ideas about who we are as Americans was formed, and government was needed to support that kind of activity, that kind of very brisk activity that was needed to reform society. So there were hundreds and hundreds of these buildings built all across the United States in all of our cities, and they're all leaking energy, and they nobody paid attention to the fact that you may have to open a window.
We didn't even think about it back then.
Exactly. And they really didn't use a construction where you can get daylight into the interior of the building. So, I mean, there are all these problems with these buildings that are guzzling energy, and the federal government obviously can't afford to have those energy guzzlers, so they really want to upgrade them and make them much more efficient. And I just wanted to tell you that there was a progression to my thinking about this, because first I read President Obama's executive order about greening the federal government. It's a very smart document that was released last year. And so you can find it on whitehouse.gov, and it's really well detailed. And then earlier this year, I read a newspaper article on the Environmental Protection Agency's research support facility in Golden, Colorado, which is a zero energy building.
Yeah.
In other words, it makes its own energy. It cleans its own air. It probably filters its own water. So it has all the systems in place. And this is the first time that a very large building, which has about 800 people, employees working there, has actually been built to the principles of zero energy use. So this is very exciting. And then that's when I called the GSA, the chief architect's office at the GSA, and I said, well, wouldn't that be amazing if the GSA buildings could be pulled up to this kind of high performance? And they were very cagey. They didn't say anything. And 2 weeks later, they said, oh, we'd love it. We'd love it. We'd love it. Let's work together. And then what happened was 2 weeks later, the administrator of the GSA came out with the idea that she's shooting for all GSA buildings to come in at zero energy consumption.
Yeah, zero carbon footprint.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. So we're right. Everybody kind of synced together on this one.
So talk a little bit about how this works. You put out the call, and we'll have the link on federalnewsradio.com so people can find it nice and easy. You put out the call, and it even has some specifications on the building and photos of the building, all that kind of stuff. So how's this work from here on out?
Well, the architects and designers and landscape architects and all the design professions need to read the brief. There's a project brief that says what it is, what's there now, and what we're looking for is ideas. We're looking for big ideas and small ideas. We're looking, let's say somebody wants to change out the windows, and what would they do to the building, to how would they reconfigure it to get daylight inside the building? Let's say they want to reconfigure the water system and use the fountain that's on the grounds and create some sort of landscaping that actually filters all the water and uses everything on the site and reclaims the water, claims rainfall. And so that's one. They could also figure out how to light the rooms with a new energy efficient lighting system. So, I mean, they could do a lot of things. These are ideas we're looking for. And some of them will take a whole system and look at the whole system of the building and look at its location, its the grounds around it, its structure, its electricity use, its water use, its materials, and then propose a way of, let's say, opening it up with skylights or doubling up on photovoltaics, since photovoltaics solar cells are already on the roof. Or maybe if there's geothermal in the ground, maybe they pump into geothermal energy. I don't know if some of the other regional buildings of its the same type would have wind power. Would they think about, let's say, a similar building exists in Oklahoma City? Maybe they would use wind power there, because that's a power source that they have. So they really need to think about what's available, what can be done, and how do you innovate from there.
And you have a panel of judges that look these over?
Yes, we do. We have a panel of judges, including the chief architect of the GSA and a professor at Yale and who's an engineer who used to be a NASA engineer.
Wow.
And so we have some amazing judges. We have four judges, and I'm the moderator who kind of keeps it all going.
Guides the whole process,
and it's a really fun, really interesting judging system, because we're talking about ideas. It's not just pretty photos, but really smart-looking, smartly performing things that will make a big difference in people's lives.
And is there one winner or a couple of winners? How's this work?
There is one winner who gets $10,000 to kind of figure out what to do with either carrying the project forward or developing ideas, more of their ideas. And then we at Metropolis ask the judges to choose at least 10 runners up, which are featured in the magazine and about which we write stories on our website. And the people with the best ideas are invited to speak publicly about their ideas. So there's a whole program around this, disseminating the ideas that we get from the competition.
And when is talk about some of the milestones. When do things have to be in by, and when will we hear about what the winner is?
Well, the deadline is at the end of January, and so it's one of those really tight deadlines. And then the judging takes place the third week in February, and the first phase of the judging takes place electronically, because everybody will look at the information online. And then the judges, with their choices of, let's say they choose 10 each, and so they come into New York and we discuss every piece that was chosen, its merits and demerits. And then what we do is we publish the winning results and the runners-up in our May issue. And then we start publicizing them outside of the magazine. We invite them to conferences, and that's when the sort of big discussions start.